Stripe's announcement this week is the kind of corporate statement that will either look prescient or deeply strange in 5 years, and I genuinely can't tell you which. The payments giant told investors it is staying private indefinitely, shelving a long-anticipated IPO, and framed the decision using language that would have sounded hyperbolic even a year ago. The company said it believes the singularity has begun in terms of AI's impact on financial infrastructure, and that staying private gives them the flexibility to respond to that shift faster than the quarterly reporting cycle of a public company would allow. That's a substantive argument, not just spin.
What makes it credible, rather than just clever positioning, is the financial context. Stripe reported 41% revenue growth in the first half of 2026. A company growing at that rate doesn't need public market capital for survival. It's generating more than enough cash to fund operations and investment. The IPO was always more about liquidity for early investors and employees than about the company needing the money. So Stripe is essentially telling those investors, we're worth more by staying private and compounding than by listing now.
The singularity framing is worth unpacking because it's not the Kurzweilian technological singularity. It's a narrower claim that AI is so fundamentally restructuring payment processing, fraud detection, financial identity verification, and merchant services that the company's competitive landscape is being redrawn faster than any five-year public company roadmap could anticipate. Stripe's CEO Patrick Collison has been consistent in saying that the company is rebuilding significant portions of its infrastructure around AI-native architectures. Staying private is the operational bet that goes with that strategic thesis.
The Michael Burry NVIDIA story is related but distinct. Burry, who became famous for the Big Short trade against mortgage securities in 2007, disclosed a position that signals he thinks NVIDIA faces serious competitive pressure from a startup called Etched. For listeners who haven't followed Etched, they're building what's called a transformer-specific chip, hardware that's optimized not for general GPU compute, but specifically for the transformer architecture that underlies virtually every major large language model. The argument is that a chip purpose-built for transformers can be dramatically more efficient than a general-purpose GPU running the same workload.
Burry's track record earns him a serious hearing even when the specific claim seems contrarian. NVIDIA's dominance right now is extraordinary. The company accounts for somewhere above 70% of AI training chip revenue, but that kind of dominance tends to attract exactly this type of specialized competition. The history of semiconductor markets is littered with dominant players who got outflanked by purpose-built architectures. The question for NVIDIA is whether the transformer architecture is stable enough that a transformer-specific chip actually maintains its efficiency advantage, or whether AI model architectures will keep evolving in ways that favor NVIDIA's flexibility.
The AI as layoff cover story deserves a clear-eyed look because the pattern is real and the critique is legitimate. Analysts are now systematically examining corporate announcements that blame AI for headcount reductions, and finding that in many cases, the jobs being eliminated were already targeted for cuts before the AI strategy was announced. The AI justification provides a narrative that sounds forward-looking and innovative rather than cost-cutting, which plays better with investors and with the remaining workforce. But the data on whether AI is actually driving the specific productivity gains that would justify those specific cuts is much thinner than the press releases suggest.
There's an important distinction here between companies that are genuinely restructuring around AI-enabled workflows, where the technology is actually doing work that humans previously did, and companies that are using AI as a rhetorical frame for cuts driven by margin pressure or strategic repositioning. Both things are happening. The problem is that the second category is borrowing credibility from the first, and it makes it harder to have an honest conversation about where AI-driven displacement is real and where it's a cover story.
Before we leave the chip world, let me bring in our curriculum corner here, because the NVIDIA Etch story has an antitrust dimension that's worth understanding.
Go ahead, this is actually a perfect moment for it.
When people hear antitrust and NVIDIA in the same sentence, they often assume the question is whether NVIDIA has too big a market share. But that's not actually how antitrust law works in the United States. The Sherman Antitrust Act of 1890 is the foundational statute, and it makes it illegal to monopolize or attempt to monopolize a market. The key word is monopolize, which in legal terms means something specific. It's not just having a large market share, it's using that market power to exclude competition through means other than superior products or efficiency. The classic analogy is this. If you make the best product at the best price, and that's why you have 80% of the market, that's not a Sherman Act violation. But if you use contractual arrangements or pricing strategies specifically designed to prevent rivals from competing, not because they are inefficient, but because you're leveraging your dominance to block them, that crosses into illegal monopolization. For NVIDIA specifically, regulators would have to show not just that they dominate the AI chip market, but that they've used that dominance through exclusionary practices. NVIDIA's exclusive supply agreements with certain cloud providers and their CUDA software ecosystem, which creates switching costs for developers, are the areas regulators have been examining. Market share alone, even 70%+, isn't sufficient grounds for an antitrust case. The conduct has to be the problem, not the success.
And that distinction is exactly why these cases take years to build. You need the conduct evidence, not just the market share number.